Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I want to begin reading at verse 10. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. When we began our study some time ago in this section of the book or the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, we began by saying that there are three important realities. The first reality is the hard to accept reality of our spiritual weakness. You and I are spiritual weaklings. We're not just weak, we're morally and spiritually feeble and frail and fragile and helpless and defenseless, and we are in complete dependence upon our God. We are weak. Left to ourselves, we can't please God. We can't understand the truth. We can't pray right. We can't worship right. We can't resist temptation. Our faith would fail. And we wouldn't survive. We wouldn't survive the onslaught of sin. The second reality, not only are we spiritual weaklings, but the second reality is the hard-to-believe reality that we're in a war. I think that some people, some who profess to be Christians, think that the Christian life is kind of like going to Disney World. That is, it's more or less a lot of fun and entertainment and a good time. But that's not true. The Christian life is a war. It's a battle. We're to fight the good fight of faith. The Christian life is more like living in Kandahar, Afghanistan, surrounded by a whole bunch of Taliban soldiers, and they're shooting at us, trying to kill us. John Piper said, "From the cradle to the grave, life is war. Your soul, your mind, your body, your family, your career are fields of conflict. Until Satan is finally thrown into the lake of fire, our peace with God will have to be a vigilant peace." So we're weak and we're at war. That's not so good. But the third really important reality is the wonderful reality of our Savior. Because verse 10 says, "Be strong in the Lord." He begins with this necessity for you and I to be strong in the Lord. Because we're weak in ourselves and we're at war. So we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Our spiritual strength and stability and survival is a matter of looking to and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners. And I think a lot of us know that verse in Proverbs chapter 3, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths." If you and I want to survive the moral meltdown that is going on all around us, we have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We have to put on the whole armor of God, which He has provided for us. We need to put on the belt of truth, that is the objective truth of the Lord Jesus Christ found in the Word of God. We need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Again, not our righteousness, because we don't have any. We need to put on the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that perfection that perfectly pleases God. We need to put on the gospel boots of peace so that we can have stability, so we can stand in the day of evil. We need to put on the shield of faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the only faith we need. Faith trusting in Him to keep us when we can't keep ourselves. We need to put on the helmet of salvation to save our minds from all the unwanted intrusions of the world and the devil. And we need to take the sword of the Spirit, that specific word of God that He gives us to help us to stand. Well, this morning, we come to what I believe is the secret weapon in our spiritual battle. It is a secret weapon of our warfare, a weapon that's so important that everything else depends upon it. It's a weapon so great that if we use it properly, there's nothing that can stop it. Nothing. The spiritual weapon, the secret weapon God has given to all His people, is called the weapon of faith, the weapon of prayer, but we have to exercise faith in our prayer. If we're going to fight against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, we need to pray. We need to watch and pray as we sung that hymn. Again, Piper says this, prayer is not designed as an intercom between us and God to serve domestic comforts of the saints. Now, Piper's around my age. He's a little older than me. But some of us older people, we remember that back in the 60s and the 70s, before a lot of you were even born, there were such things as intercoms in houses. So you can press the button and you can talk to someone down in one of the bedrooms. That's the intercom. And Piper says, well, prayer is not an intercom to get your conveniences made. You know, sweetheart, the dinner is ready. And so the sweetheart would come up and eat dinner. Well, that's not what prayer is. Prayer, he says, is a walkie-talkie. It's designed as a walkie-talkie for spiritual battlefields. It's the link between active duty soldiers and their command headquarters with its unlimited firepower and air cover and strategic wisdom. Now, if we have a Disney World mentality, then somehow we don't need air cover, we don't need to fight, we kick back and we relax in our shorts and t-shirt and in our, what do you call those things on the feet, the flip-flops? Yeah. I mean, we just relax. Everything's fine. We're at Disney World. We're going on a ride. We're going to have a good time. That's all it is. Well, the Christian life isn't Disney World. It's worse than, well, let's imagine, use your sanctified imagination for a second. And all of us right now, we're soldiers. And somehow God transports us over to Kandahar, Afghanistan, in some desert area where there's nothing but Taliban soldiers. And we're in this house. And we look and we see the Taliban are coming. And we have armament. We have gear that we can put on. We put on our helmets and we put on our belts of truth and we put on a breastplate, the body armor, and everybody's scared, right? And then you really, the scare gets, we're even more scared and we're more afraid when they start lobbing mortars into the area where we are, and these mortars are getting closer and closer. Now what do you do? And then some of the ones get even closer, and these Taliban are shooting RPGs, those rocket-propelled grenades, and they're landing inside the building where we are, and things are exploding, and there's fire. Now what do you do? Well, you look to me and you say, well, you got us here. What are we going to do? And I get on the phone, and this is what you do when you're in the military. You get on the phone and you call headquarters and you ask them to send airplanes over so that you can bomb the enemy that's surrounding you. That's what they do. And Piper's point is, that's what we do. We're in a battle. We're not in Disney World. We're not in Orlando. We're in a battle. We're in a war zone. And there's a lot of danger. And we could be killed. And so we need to call in air support. We need to call in help. We need God's help. Prayer is a walkie-talkie for help from God. Let me try to summarize what this very special weapon of prayer is all about by giving you what I'm calling the five P's of prayer warfare. Okay? The five P's of prayer warfare in verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. The first P is the privilege of prayer. There is no greater privilege that the Christian has, other than having the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we have the Spirit indwelling us. But there's no greater privilege that God gives us than prayer. I was listening some time ago to a popular Bible teacher who was talking about his relationship with George W. Bush. He met George W. Bush when he was governor of Texas, and then later on when he became President Bush. He saw President Bush at a convention of religious broadcasters. And while he bumped into President Bush, they're talking, and then President Bush gave him his private telephone number and said, "The next time you're in Washington, give me a call. Maybe we'll try to get together." What a privilege that would be, wouldn't it? Have the president's telephone, private telephone number. Well, that's nothing compared to the incredible privilege that you and I have. And we can pray always with all prayer and supplication. We can call upon our God all the time, anytime. The God of heaven says, "Call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know." Praying always, this is the privilege, praying always with all prayer and supplication. We don't need to make an appointment with our God to talk to Him. He's always there. He's always ready to hear us. And this is another thing. He wants to hear us. Sometimes in dads, we're not ready to, and sometimes we're not even willing to listen to our children. You know, we like to hear them, but we're busy. We're kind of busy, so we don't listen to our children. Maybe they talk to us, and we're really not connected. We're not listening like we should listen. And then sometimes some people we want to talk to, they don't even want to hear us. But God is ready to hear us. He's always ready to hear us. And He's always ready. He wants to hear from us. He wants us to communicate with Him. He wants us to pray. And we don't have to make an appointment. In fact, God is more willing to hear us pray than we are willing to pray. And I can say that about myself. He's more willing to hear me pray than I am willing to pray. Praying always means that God wants us to pray all the time, any time, day or night. Pray without ceasing, the Scripture says. Praying always must mean that we always need to pray because we always need God's help. We're surrounded by the enemy. We're in enemy territory. We need God's help. Again, the mindset that most Christians have is that we're really not in a battlefield. Maybe we're not in Disney World, but we're in Virginia. And everything is all right. Well, it's not all right. We're in a battle zone. We're in enemy territory, and we need to pray. Do you want to survive? Then pray. In fact, the psalmist had this mentality of prayer warfare and needing God. Psalm 88, he says, "O Lord, God of my salvation, I've cried out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry, for my soul is full of troubles." Psalm 102, he says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my trouble. Incline your ear to me in the day that I call. Answer me speedily." Praying always with all prayer means that we are to pray publicly and privately and audibly and silently and secretly. We are to pray when we're troubled. We're to pray when we're blessed. We're to pray when we are stressed. We are to pray with sighs and cries, with groans, with words, with adoration and confession, and with thanksgiving and with supplication. We're to pray all the time. What a privilege we have, praying always with all prayer. All the time, God has an open door for us to pray. He loves to hear His children pray. Now, I don't know if you believe that. I believe it. I need to believe it more. I need to really get a hold of that. You and I need to get a hold of that. The question that I ask is this: is prayer a real privilege for you? You don't have to just answer the question in your own mind. Is prayer a real privilege for you? Are you always praying? Or do you just pray when you get a chance, when it's convenient? The first P is the privilege of prayer. The second P in this spiritual prayer warfare that we're talking about, second P, is the purpose of prayer. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. The whole idea of praying with supplication is to pray for specific things that we need to help us glorify God. The focus of prayer is not really us. It's God's glory. So supplication are specific things that we need to glorify our God. Turn to John chapter 14. John 14. Jesus is with his disciples in the upper room. And he told them at the beginning of this chapter, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. You believe in God, believe also in me." And so they were troubled because he told them, "I'm going to leave you." And then he says to them, to comfort them, he says in verse 13 of John 14, he says, "Whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." That if we pray because Jesus is my Savior and my Lord, I'm praying in His name, by His authority, because of what He accomplished in His life and what He would accomplish in His death, I'm praying according to Jesus' name. And he says, "If you ask anything of my Father in my name, I will do it, that he might be glorified in the Son." John chapter 15 and verse 5. When we talk about our weakness, we see it clearly here. John 15 verse 5, Jesus is saying again to his disciples, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." You can't do anything without me. And then he says in verse 7, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so will you be my disciples." Prayer is an expression of our need for the Lord Jesus Christ. Realizing that without him I can't do anything. I can't do anything right. And so, what is the real purpose of prayer? Well, we saw in these texts, it's for God to be glorified. praying for specific things, that's supplication, for specific things that God alone will be glorified. In other words, that God, we would see, and other people would see, who God really is. The problem is we don't see who God really is clearly. I remember many years ago, my two youngest daughters wanted to go see the Miami Heat play. And we went to see Shaquille O'Neal, who is the center of the Heat, 7 feet, 1 inch tall, 325 pounds. Big guy. Only problem is, Dad could only afford the seats way up at the top. The $30 seats on the top tier. You get up on the top tier and you look down on all these big men, and Shaq didn't look so big. He looked real little. And someone loaned us some binoculars and he looked and you could see how big he is. Now, what happened? The binoculars didn't make Shaq bigger. It just made him more real, like he really was. Prayer acts in a similar way. When we pray, it helps us see God for how great He really is. He is really great. He's awesome. And when we see that, we glorify our God. Prayer helps us to see God as He really, really is. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We have another text. Jesus talks about prayer here. He talked a lot about prayer. Prayer is crucial. Matthew chapter 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, verse 7. He said, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." You know, I think it's important for me, everyone who asks receives. The problem is we've come with these opinions and ideas. You know, it's not everyone. Yes, it is. It's everyone. Everyone who asks in faith, asks believing in Christ, asks whatever it is, everyone who asks receives. And he that seeks finds, and him that knocks it will be open. And verse 9 he says, "Oh, what man is there among you whom, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent or a snake? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him?" You see, prayer glorifies God because when we pray, we're giving God an opportunity to put His power and His goodness on display. Psalm 50, verse 15. The psalmist said, "Call upon me," speaking for God, "call upon me, and I will, in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." The purpose of prayer is the glory of God. Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And that's the third P. We've got the privilege of prayer. The privilege of prayer, what a privilege it is. We've got the purpose of prayer, the glory of God. The third P is the power of prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That is, we are to pray with the help of the Holy Spirit. Without the Spirit, we can't pray. We can't pray. Praying in the Spirit means that God's Spirit helps us to pray. Praying in the Spirit means that the Spirit influences our thoughts and our desires. Praying in the Spirit means that the Spirit empowers our prayers so that He makes them acceptable to God, that they are heard in heaven. The Spirit makes our prayers powerful with God. That's why we need the help of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He, the Spirit, makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And therefore He makes our prayers powerful. Privilege of prayer, purpose of prayer, power of the prayer. The fourth P is the problem of prayer. And if you turn back to the text in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, you see the privilege and the purpose and the power of prayer. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication. Being watchful with all perseverance. The problem of prayer. Perseverance implies there's some kind of a problem or difficulty. Something that hinders us when we pray. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this. He says, everything we do in the Christian life is easier than prayer. Everything we do in the Christian life is easier than prayer. I found that out last night. I've already worked on my notes. I've already revised. And now it's about 8:30 or 9 o'clock. And in my mind, I said I'd need to pray. But I was starting to get tired. And this is exactly what I did. I got down on my knees like I usually do. You don't have to pray on your knees, but I did. I do some at home. And I got down on my knees and I started to pray, and I prayed for about 30 seconds. And I got up off my knees and went back to upstairs and went into my bedroom, got undressed, laid down, and there's a book by the side of my bed. I took the book out, eyes are wide open, and I start reading my book, and I read for a chapter. But I couldn't pray for more than 30 seconds. Why is prayer so easy and yet so hard? Because our flesh hates to pray. Our flesh fills our minds with all kinds of excuses for not praying. I'm too tired. I'm too busy. I'll pray later. That's what I was thinking. I'm going to pray in the morning anyway. Our flesh makes us discouraged, distracted, complacent, and negligent about spiritual things. Why is prayer so easy and yet so hard? Because it takes fresh faith to pray. Not old, stale faith, yesterday's faith. Fresh faith is required to pray. So we have to persevere not just in saying a bunch of words, but drawing near to God. Prayer is meeting with God. Prayer is seeking the face of God. The psalmist said in the 27th Psalm, when you said, seek my face, your face, O Lord, will I seek. Or Psalm 63 in verse 1, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, to see your power and your glory. There's something that was earnest about him. You read the Psalms and you see there's earnestness with David when he prayed. He very seldom says, I asked the Lord to do this. He says, I cried to the Lord. You see, there's earnestness in prayer. The problem with prayer is that we've got to persevere. You and I need to pray with a conviction that God loves to give good gifts to His children. We need to pray with the confident expectation that He will always give me what is best at the right time. Not at my time, but at His time. True faith perseveres in prayer. The problem with so many of us is we have the tendency to pray for something, and then when we don't get what we want, when we want it, we quit praying. And we go to plan B. May God save us from that mentality and that attitude. We have to persevere, persevering in prayer and supplication. In fact, and turn back to Luke chapter 11. Stay with me now, stay with me, because I'm almost finished. There's only five P's and we're almost finished with the fourth. Luke chapter 11 and verse 5. Luke 11 verse 5. And Jesus said to them, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me and on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give to you.'" Jesus goes on to say, "I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." In other words, the guy comes to your house. He says, "I need some bread, and I don't have any. I've got a friend that came, and I need some bread." And he says, "No, I can't get up. I'm in bed. Please leave me alone." And he keeps on knocking, and he keeps on knocking, and he keeps on knocking, and he doesn't stop knocking until the guy gets out of bed and he comes to the door. "Here's the bread. You want more? I'll give you all the bread you need." And Jesus says, he goes on to say, verse 9, we already read this, but this is a repetition. "So I say to you, ask," and these are all in the present tense, which means keep on asking and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened. And so we need to persevere in faith. What are they? The first P is the privilege of prayer. Second P is the power of prayer, that is the Spirit. The third P is the power of prayer. I'm sorry. The second P is the purpose of prayer. What is the purpose of prayer? The glory of God. The third P is the power of prayer. The fourth P is the problem of prayer. We need to persevere. The fifth P is the perspective of prayer. The perspective of prayer, the perspective or the focus of our prayer is not ourselves. We're talking about spiritual warfare. The perspective is not ourselves. If you look back in the text, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." For all the saints. The focus of prayer warfare is not ourselves, it's others. It's other people. Specifically, he says, for all the saints. For all those who are the people of God. All those who are devoted to God. All those who are set apart for Christ. One of the best ways that you and I can demonstrate our love for one another is to pray for one another. Pray for their protection. Pray for one another's protection. Pray for provision. Pray for purity. Pray for prosperity. Pray for God's blessings upon one another. Listen to John MacArthur. He says, "The greatest thing that we can do for another believer, or that he can do for us, is to pray. The spiritually healthy person is devoted to the welfare of others." Listen to that. "The spiritually healthy person is devoted to the welfare of others, especially fellow believers. On the other hand, the root of both psychological and spiritual sickness is preoccupation with self. The believer who is consumed with his own problems, even his own spiritual problems, to the exclusion of concern for other believers, suffers from destructive self-centeredness that not only is the cause of, but is the supreme barrier to the solution of his own problems. Usually selfishness isolates him from other believers, who, if they were intimately involved in fellowship with him, would be regularly praying for his spiritual welfare. So if I love you, I'll pray for you. And if you love me, you'll pray for me. And as I look around, I've told you this before, it's my habit to pray to the people. I got all of you except Ashley and Nathan. I didn't know they were going to be here this morning, but I did pray for the visitors that the Lord would bring. And so we need to pray for one another. We need to really love one another and pray for each other, for our protection, for our provision, for our purity, and that we would all persevere in the faith. He says in verse 19, he says, praying always for all prayer and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. One of the hardest things for some people to do is ask for prayer. I need your prayers. I really do need your prayers. Because I'm weak. And I'm needy. And I'm under attack. Just like you are. In one of the sermons of Charles Spurgeon, he said this, and I'll close with this. He says, pray for your children, for all your relatives. Pray for those in church, for those who sit near you in church, for those who are unconverted. Pick them out and pray for them by name. May I also ask you to use this power of prayer on my behalf, says Spurgeon. I will be so rich if you who have power with God will pray for me. My preaching will be poverty stricken if you cease to pray for me. You who can pray, I beg you to plead with God for His church, for His truth, for His cause on the earth. These are dark days, but you can bring on a spiritual summertime if you know how to pray the powerful and effective prayer of a righteous man. Truth seems for a while to be suffering defeat, and the battle becomes harder and fiercer. But the praying army is the conquering army. Bring to the front the men and the women who can pray, and the devil will tremble with and flee, for he clearly knows that those who are mighty with God are mightier than he is. And so I ask you, pray for me. Pray for our deacons. Pray for those in the mission field. Pray for those pastors in other churches. You may not know the people, but we bring up the pastors. Pray for the people in those churches. Pray for other people. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me. Pray for me. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, how weak are our words, but how mighty is your truth, and how mighty is that reality of prayer. What a privilege you give us, O God. What a wonderful privilege that you give to us. Thank you, O Father. Help us to seek your glory in everything. Help us to know the purpose of prayer and the glory of God, that people would see you as you really are. Father, we pray that we would know something of the power of prayer. We thank you that the Holy Spirit has unlimited power, that there is no obstacle to what the Spirit can do. Father, we thank you that you help us even though we struggle with our fleshly desires and feelings. Please help us to persevere in prayer. And help us, our Father, to pray for one another. Thank you for your people. Father, we pray for all those that are here this morning. We pray for the visitors. We do pray for Nathan and Ashley, that you would bless them, that you would bless this church. Again, we pray for John Chan in the hospital and his wife Joan. We pray that you would bless Bill and May as they minister to them, as they take her, Joan, to the hospital. Bless this day, O God. Father, bring us back this evening that we would be filled with your Spirit, and that we would be open to hear your word again, that we would be true worshipers of you and delight ourselves in you. Please help us, we ask. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.